Happy Friday. The weekend is here. It's 8:06 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. No, I don't want to work. Go Gators. Good morning and welcome to the weekend. It is 8:07 and Friday, and we're getting ready for some football. And joining me now, Bill Allen of Allen Law and former Gator player, of course. Welcome. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy Friday, fellas.
You have that very recognizable voice, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, right away.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the big A, brother.
The no, big A.
I can just see the signs of the bus going by.
Hey, is it still what's bugging you Friday?
For you, Bill, yes.
Absolutely. Man, trying to get into Gainesville at 8 o'clock in the morning from the west side, good gracious, man. I just barely made it here. So that's what's bugging me, Bob.
I bet you I have a shorter commute all the way from Clay County and Keystone where I live.
This was something else, man.
And I'm telling you, I pay less in property taxes than you.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. So anyway, let's first of all talk about football. You played for the Gators. What was that experience like? Because a lot of people don't understand. We see the glory. We don't see the hard work that you got to complete classes and you're playing football, you know, in the top division in the SEC conference.
That was my first dream. I mean, at the end of 10th grade, I set a goal to get a scholarship to the University of Florida and worked really hard and was able to do it. Didn't play a ton, but it was a great, great experience for me. I'm so glad I was there. I was there when Coach Pell came, and that's really the
beginning. Give him hell, Pell.
No doubt, man, no doubt. I tell you, Coach Summerall reminds me a lot of him, the energy he brings, the intensity he brings. It was incredible. And if we go back to the early 80s like that, that's when we started building the facilities and becoming the program that we eventually became in the 90s and are getting back to now.
So you were gone before Galen Hall.
Yep.
Well, did you live in the dorms that were underneath the...
Certainly did. Yon Hall. It was kind of like a zoo, my friend.
That's where I was hanging out with David Williams. You remember him, offensive lineman. And he introduced me sort of to Emmitt Smith. He just pointed down the hall and said, that guy's going to be a superstar.
No doubt.
And I go, that little guy? And it's concrete walls. And he just looked up at me. I'm like, oops.
Yeah,
me and my big mouth. That's why I'm in talk radio, Bill, because I got a big mouth. That was an experience there in itself. So let's talk about this season. You mentioned Coach Summerall, and you already think he's got the fire it's going to take.
I don't think there's any question. I mean, he's a former linebacker at Kentucky. I've met him, talked to him a few times, and just the intensity is there. And he's impatient. I love that. He said he wants to win right now. Everywhere he's been, he's won. So I expect great things this year. I mean, I really think we're going to turn it around and have a very good year.
I always use this term, and probably to the detriment of myself because I overuse it, but here's what I always call for. It's Florida football. I want, and I speak for many people, an explosive offense. I grew up watching Big Ten. I was a Michigan fan.
Right.
I know what you do on first, second, and third down every single game. plow into the line. I mean, they didn't even know. I don't think they invented the forward pass up there in the Big Ten until the late 80s. But that's another story. What about you? Explosive offense? You want to see those kind of?
No doubt. I think we all got spoiled in the 90s with Coach Spurrier. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He changed the game of football. But it's critical. I mean, it's critical to, you know, fan interest and to get young, talented players to come here. They want wide open. They want to play. But you got to be able to have that line. That's what's so great about Summerall. He starts with the line, and that means you can run the ball, which helps open up the passing game.
Oh, yeah. I remember when the Gators had, like, their first average offensive line over 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And so we've got big boys. And the thing is, I mean, these guys can run sub 5 seconds. They're 300 pounds.
Right.
That's amazing.
Right.
I got to stand on the field one time, you know, for a game instead of being up in the stands. I got to tell you, it's like I witnessed 100 car wrecks that day. That's what it sounded like. That's what it felt like when these guys were hitting each other.
Just take you back in time to 1984. I mean, that team, they could have played 100 more games and not lost again because their offensive line was so good. Third and seven, they could run for it.
Zimmerman on the line then?
Yeah.
84, yeah. Zimmerman, Williams.
Unbelievable. And that's the Great Wall.
All right. All right. So let me ask you about this because you are an attorney at law. Of course, everybody knows Allen Law. What about these players that are signed for the NFL, and then they want to come back and play college ball. The SEC, Big Ten already said, we're not playing that game. Now the courts are involved. A judge, the latest one, said you have to let them play.
I'll take it from two different angles. I mean, from the agents and from the potential pro players. Yeah, I mean, it's free enterprise. If I can't make it in the NFL, then I still have eligibility. I can come back and play. Should be able to do that from that side. But from the other side, and this is the part, the purist side, I mean, everybody that does that is taking a spot from, in my opinion, younger guys, high school guys like me back then that wanted to play, big time football. And it doesn't sit well with me.
Well, yeah, and if you do have a young player, he's going to sit the bench because you're going to play this veteran. So you're going to have less experienced players later on the field, and maybe they only stick around another 2 or 3 years. And yeah, I see what you're saying, and I don't think I looked at it like that before, that these are opportunities that could be filled by up-and-coming high school players. So is it the NIL money that kind of draws them back, or they just want to be on TV every week to maybe raise their stature and then jump back in the pros?
I think it's both, but particularly the money. I mean, if you go and try out for the pros and get cut, but you can make $1 million or $2 million a year going back, then why wouldn't you do it? I mean, obviously a young player, like anybody else, is going to go to where the best opportunity is. But like I said, that takes spots from high school players and younger players getting on the field, and it's just hard to accept.
Now, how does it work with the NIL? I know some players get an extraordinary amount of money. What about the ones that, they make the team, maybe even a starter, but they're not as high profile as others? Do they get anything?
I don't think so. Again, yeah. I certainly didn't. I know that back then. But no, I don't think so. I mean, there's high profile that you have to pay to get the big recruits, but then there's a lot of people that don't make hardly anything.
But wasn't that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the NCAA, they were so stupidly stiff and tough on some things, the simple things, like if you wanted to get a burger with a big booster, he says, come on, Bill, let's go grab a burger. You don't have 2 cents to rub together, and the meal plan's not open today. But you could get in trouble for that.
There always should have been a stipend.
They went from zero.
Always, yeah. There always should have been a stipend to just for living expenses.
Yeah, they went from zero to 100 is
absolutely.
What I say. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now it's the Wild Wild West.
Yeah, there was a great coach back then that coached when Vince Kendrick. He came from Miami. He had nothing when he got up here. Nothing. He barely had the clothes that were on his back when he got here. And you're telling me you can't, give him a stipend to help him survive? It was not right then, but now we've gone way the other way.
Yeah, I don't want to tell any tales, but let's just say, boosters have been helping players for years, sometimes in a much larger way, but the NCAA always seemed to be able to make the smallest busts and not see the bigger picture that was actually taking place. And I'm going even back before your playing days when
I'm
in the SEC were driving brand new Cadillacs.
I'm smiling because the statute of limitations has run on me, but after the games, I didn't normally be the recipient of that stuff, but yeah, it does happen.
Well, the first time I met Jeff Zimmerman, he was driving a brand new canary yellow Corvette. And the problem was, he was still in Florida.
Whoops.
How'd you work that out, Jeff? He goes, I know people. And I let that be because it was none of my business, frankly.
There you go.
And I'm a Gator fan, too, so there's that. All right, so how do you think we're going to do overall in the football season?
I think it's going to be much better. I think what's going to be so nice is you can't have a technician as a head coach. You've got to have an inspirational, hard-nosed, hard-charging guy, and we definitely have that now. I mean, clearly, we may not win every game, but I promise you, there's no doubt in my mind, it will be intense. And we'll be proud of the effort that they give. But like I said, this guy's impatient. He's won everywhere he's been. Excuse me. And I think he's going to win this year. I mean, I really do.
Absolutely. Love to hear it, man. And so your son and daughter-in-law are going to be part of your team, next week, right?
Absolutely.
That is
so exciting, isn't
it? They just graduated
law school and took the bar exam, and we'll find out on September 18th if they passed it. But, we're looking forward to it.
And then I heard 2 days after that, you're going to announce your new 3-day-a-week work schedule. Is that true?
I told Will he needs to show me something quick. Like Coach Sumrall. So.
That's what
no
I was
pressure.
Just thinking.
No pressure at all.
The coach dad son father relationship.
Uh-huh.
I love it. Bill Allen, always a pleasure. Keep up the good work at Allen Law.
Thank you, fellas. Always a pleasure to be here.
And what do we always say?
Go Gators!
Right on. 8:16 on the Bob Rose Show. So much more to come. Top stories, headlines, all on the way. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. 8:20 time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Some of your top stories. Well, one of them, J.D. Vance addressed an issue. You know, the folks in Iran, the regime, they were claiming that we like wiped out a wedding and killed 18 people.
Did that hit you a little weird when you heard that? The first time you heard that, did you kind of go... Yeah, that sounds like a good propaganda story.
Right. Look, accidents do happen.
We've seen it, yes.
And there's been very, very such bad guys that they have taken chances before, and there's some collateral damage, and they try not to do that. But if it's the only time this mole pops their head out, you got to whack them.
Right.
And but you hate to do that. And I know that's not necessarily the policy we're working with right now, as far as I know. But, Vice President J.D. Vance came out. Remember, you know, he served. That's the thing, is he has a connection here. And he was extremely skeptical of the so-called U.S. hit of a wedding party. And they were reporting 18 people died. And so he didn't out and out say, no, that never happened. He said, well, we're going to investigate that. But I find it, you know, difficult to believe that's occurred.
Right.
So he answered that, you know, appropriately. And also, though, they asked him, hey, is this, war with Iran? Is this going to be over by November, you know, for the midterms? Mm-hmm. And he said, I wouldn't call it a war.
Yeah.
I mean,
we have a declared war.
I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
You know, it is a, I guess the war is to really remove the regime.
Right. That's a goal, yes.
And I kind of wish they would have said that from the get-go, because I think we all knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we knew it. Here's why we knew it. We knew you couldn't trust them.
Right.
And the paper, any agreement was written on anyway. And, of course, that proved to be, once again, true. So you couldn't, if you knew you couldn't trust them, and you knew they had lied every time, whether it was, you know, Barack Obama or Joe Biden as former presidents, whether, you know, all those deals worked. They were cheating on the deal the entire time. So they should have just said from the get-go, we're going to get rid of the regime. We're going to get rid of anybody that's in a position of power that wants their country to have a nuclear weapon. Because that's the only way it's going to happen. They focused on the nuclear side of it. I get that. But don't pretend like it can happen any other way. Mm-hmm. We now have discovered, 6 months later, that it can't and won't happen any other way.
Right. But the end game is they need to go away.
Well, absolutely. I don't even know if I'd call that end game.
Yeah.
I'd call it the game.
The game, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're still at it. We're still in it.
Well, I mean, we're in a position of control, which, as we approach the midterms, there'll still be some lefties that'll come out and try to tell you, because I heard it just, a week ago from some lefty, that, Tehran is actually in a better position than they were before the war.
Yeah. Like, really? Really?
And it's like, that idea, that theory, didn't have much roadway to begin with. Well, now, it's completely off the board.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter what kind of agreement that they signed with Oman. It doesn't matter. We have a very effective naval blockade in place right now. So they're not in a better position than they were previous.
No.
And yes, they're still capable of, you know, wildly throwing out strikes here and there, UAB, Jordan, Kuwait, et cetera. But they're throwing everything they have. And they don't have much left. No, they probably still have some facilities where they can still produce some stuff, but the vast, vast majority of their capabilities has been really wiped out. So now we put the noose on them in terms of choking them out economically, and that's a little bit of a slower burn. The people with the money, though, they don't feel it right away. In other words, their lifestyle doesn't change, but don't kid yourself. They're looking at their bank accounts, and they're seeing what's happening. If you own a chunk of the, you know, the oil revenue mm-hmm. as part of that, and you see, we haven't had a deposit in our account from our oil investment for 6 months. That's going to start to irritate those that are in that, you know, kind of ruling class, wealthy one percenters in Iran. And I know that that is one of the areas in which they're trying to, you know, make the push. And I'm pretty sure that the CIA and Mossad have more than just one plan to try to arm some of the civilians. Where they're at on that, of course, even if I knew, I wouldn't say. But I mean, I can guarantee, well, I would pretty much guarantee you that that certainly is the case. They're they're beyond just exploring things. Yes. They're mapping things out.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion, my non-classified opinion.
Unofficial, of course.
All right. What else do we have going on? China still influencing us. We've talked about this earlier. This is just another reminder that, you know, the folks that were behind, like, No King's Day, this is the same kind of network that is like a defund the police, BLM, dating back to that. Now their network, now they're the same people that are involved in anti-data center.
Right.
And also flock cameras. So, and these people are funded from China.
Now, it would make sense on the whole flock camera thing. I get that. But also with the AI thing, they know that Trump is for them. So they're going to be against them.
Well, that's part of it, but now you have financing to be active. You can have your AstroTurf, and you can build that up. In growing protests from San Francisco to North Carolina, organizations and activists associated with the same ecosystem that rallied against Donald Trump, Israel, Elon Musk, Tesla, and Immigration and Customs Enforcement over the last 2 years are now taking on data center construction and license plate readers. The overlap includes organizations funded by pro-China, Shanghai-based tech tycoon Neville Roy Singham, whose sprawling nonprofit and media network has faced congressional and federal scrutiny over its funding and foreign ties. Singham and the nonprofits he has funded have denied taking orders from any government or political party and haven't been charged with any crimes. That's what makes it so difficult to pursue. You know, even if you can map it out where the money comes from, you know, then to pursue it beyond that, it's extremely difficult. And then they have plausible deniability. No, I'm just helping to fund a nonprofit that is, you know, building, you know, freshwater stations in Nairobi or whatever. You know what I mean? Oh, well, yeah, some of the money's going there. Well, I didn't know where the other money was going. I gave it to this guy. Right? That's just part of the game, my friends. I just want you to be aware. China, not good. 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is, we're calling it a football Friday because the season kicks off for Gators. Well, and for college football fans really everywhere. So it is going to be fun, and we're looking forward to it. 9:30, we're going to have Doug Johnson on, former Gator player, former pro player. And we'll talk to him about the upcoming season on 97.3 The Sky. Maria Bartiromo. Fox News fired her? What? Man. I was a Maria fan for sure.
Oh, yeah.
8:34 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is a, we're calling it a football Friday. Getting ready for the Gators. Kickoff tomorrow night, 7:45 in the Swamp, taking on FAU. former Gator quarterback, former NFL quarterback, and former Buholz graduate Doug Johnson will join us in approximately 1 hour from now, maybe a little bit less. So stick around and stay tuned. So what's going on with Maria Bartiromo? Immediately upon her getting canned, the rumor went around that, well, that's because she's going to be the next press secretary. And me being hopeful,
yes,
I kind of extended that rumor just a tad bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, it was revealed at some point during this whole process that it's a possibility that Fox canned her because they didn't want her doing an expansive story or stories regarding Chinese influence on, you know, American politics, Americans and their thoughts on data centers and things like that. I think she probably wanted to blow it wide open and show them just how deep the Chinese influence is, which for Fox News to squelch that,
yeah,
if indeed this has all occurred, we don't even know that for sure. Apparently, if this is true, they sent her a memo, said, no, we're going to kill the China story, and then she got pissed and sent it to the White House.
Right.
And then Fox found out, and they got perturbed, and they canned her. But that's one possible version. I haven't been able to verify that. It's swirling out there, but no news service that I'm aware of yet has printed that as actual fact.
Right.
And I said earlier, I said both can be true. She could have had some issues at Fox. They're letting her go. But at the same time, maybe she was working on making that that changeover to becoming the press secretary. So all things are possible. And her and Trump get along swimmingly well.
Right.
He has defended her and she defended him. And so I think that is very viable that she still could become. But back to the Fox News thing, if it's true, why would they squash a story? I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that their people on the air have talked about China and Chinese influence. I mean, Laura Ingraham, she's a great example of that. Mm. I mean, I get some of my information from her. Of course, I double, triple check, but absolutely, she's been 100% on the China thing. And she has experts that come on. Fox has experts that come on. That guy Chang, mm-hmm, that's written several books on him. Sorry, I can't remember his first name, but he really is an expert.
So and, who or how deep has concerns about the China story being a big story?
Well, let me put it to you this way. A supervisor, a manager, quote-unquote, a producer, quote-unquote, would never have the power to fire Bartiromo, especially, or anybody that's been there for 12 years.
Right.
That's got to come up from
way up
there. And I try to be a truth teller and a truth seeker. It's easy to be a truth teller. You just don't always know if what you're sharing is the absolute truth.
There's so much fake news out there.
There really is. So anyway, bottom line, if Maria did get canned, she won't have a tough time finding a job, but it would be cool if she was the next press secretary because I think she would knock it out of the park. Different in style, clearly, than Caroline Leavitt, but also has some age and wisdom of being initiated into all this kind of thing for probably longer than Caroline Leavitt's been around.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But for Caroline Leavitt, for her age,
oh, amazing.
All world. Gold medalist, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup.
Sure.
Oh, no.
Pick it.
That came from Canada.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Canadian friends. Kidding.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to run for office, what is it? All is fair in love, war, and politics and campaigns. This guy's a Republican. He was running for Missouri State House. He's facing federal charges. Basically, he tried to frame, he was going to frame the other Republican that he was running against, Thomas Christopher Ross, 37, making his court appearance, and he's faced one count of conspiracy to distribute controlled substance. But, distribute it, not necessarily sell it.
Okay.
He was trying to get his campaign guy to plant it in either the purse or the car of his opponent, Louise Secker. And this all took place before the state's August primary. The campaign manager, however, he got cold feet. He's like, I don't want to be involved in this. He probably said to himself, you're already a political consultant running a campaign. Don't you feel slimy enough without actually breaking the law and ruining someone else's life?
Oh, man, there's perspective.
And he just had a quick epiphany there, a brief and quick one. Anyway, he worked with the FBI and wore a wire.
Whoops.
And went to, Tom Ross's house. And he's like, hey, man, you still want me to do that thing with the, you know, the powder and all that? And, you know, he said, yeah. Well, that's all the FBI needed to know. And, of course, the powers within the Republican Party. Oh, yeah, he's terrible. He's awful. You know, given the situation, the seriousness of the situation, you know, he needs to immediately withdraw, et cetera, et cetera. The staffer said that he was asked by Ross to plant a bag of cocaine and a prescription amphetamine pill, both given to him by Ross inside Secker's purse or car. The Justice Department added that the drugs were meant to be planted while Ross was out of town. You know, the old plausible deniability. Well, yeah. I couldn't have done that.
I wonder where he got it.
Yeah. I'm sure some of this will come out. Some of this will come out in the laundry.
Yeah.
And, what a stupid move. But what do we call that? Like instant karma.
Yes.
Like you got busted so early in the process.
And deserve it.
And deserve it because.
Being that stupid.
Well, look, everybody wants to win at whatever they're doing. And people will, you know, maybe punch below the belt.
Yeah.
But you're doing something to your opponent where she actually. Theoretically could maybe go to prison, or they like send her like to a rehab facility or something, and
you've ruined her career potentially at that point.
Oh yeah. If so,
as opposed to your own in this case.
So I guess, you know,
yeah,
a campaign manager all of a sudden doing the right thing.
Yeah,
that's what you got to pray for. The people do the right thing, you know. Like police officers, they need to do the right thing.
Of course.
Even if they're not citizens.
What?
You haven't heard this? The city council for Democrat-run Danbury, Connecticut, voted to allow non-citizen migrants to serve as city police officers. The vote was taken in retaliation after federal immigration forces had recently conducted raids in the town. The city council members said that they voted to allow migrants to serve as cops to send a message to federal immigration officials.
Is that how you run your town?
Think about that. Public safety.
Yeah.
You want the best law enforcement you can get to create and maintain safety in your communities. Don't you care about your constituents? Well, these people that are pro-sanctuary and hate ICE, they don't care about their constituents. It's clear that they don't. And they're even admitting that this was just to show ICE, to wag our fingers at that ICE. Aren't you thinking about the constituents? It's not like you're hiring somebody to, to clean the roadway. Yeah, you're giving somebody a gun and a badge. And
authority.
Yeah.
An illegal now has authority over American citizens in this town.
I'm not sure where they are in terms of illegal, undocumented, or how that works. But anyway, they said that they voted to allow migrants to serve as cops as a message to federal immigration officials. The qualifications for police in the town now include DACA recipients and non-citizen legal residents.
Okay. Non-citizen legal. Technicality, yes.
Yeah. But the main thing here is the idea that they had to vote, they had to implement this, they had to put it in place, all because they wanted to punish ICE and tell ICE how bad they are. But in the meantime, you've got constituents, daughters, mothers, wives, just want to live in safety.
Right. Think of all the things you have to prove just to get a regular job, let alone law enforcement. And citizenship is suddenly not one of them? Really?
Well, you know that there's other jurisdictions that have done that, too.
I know.
And they're all lefty
jurisdictions. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
When they say back the blue, they don't mean law enforcement.
Did you know, Greg, that Democrats have a much smarter strategy on national security?
Really? Says who? It's a Democrat, probably.
Oh, it's definitely a Democrat.
Oh, okay.
It's just, you can tell whoppers.
Yeah.
But I mean.
Yeah.
Come on. At least make it like 10% believable.
Kind of plausible, maybe a little bit. Yeah.
Details on that and a whole lot more coming your way on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Top stories, headlines, all coming up. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Like a cruise missile, he is going to blast off right into the presidential race. Who am I talking about? 8:49 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Good morning and welcome and happy, happy Friday weekend. Gators playing tomorrow, kicking off the season. We're going to have we're going to talk to Doug Johnson, former Gator, former Buchholz player, former NFL player, quarterback. And he's going to join us approximately 9:30. You don't want to miss that. And we talked to Bill Allen earlier. Had some great insight into the game, played for the Gators, and great insight moving forward and good things to say about Coach Sumrall.
Oh, yeah.
You can always pick that up on the Bob Rose Show podcast. Search for the Bob Rose Show. You know, click on follow. Bada bing, you're in. It's easy. Doesn't matter. Spotify, iHeart, Odyssey, wherever you normally get your podcasts. There you go.
He's everywhere.
And look, it's not just that. It's not just interviews. It's me. It's Greg.
Hanging
doing
out.
Our thing.
Having a good time.
Yeah.
Trying not to have a real job.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So far, so good.
Yes.
Fingers crossed. Good Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. All right. So, first of all, I want to finish with what I was saying about Democrats have a much smarter strategy on national security. Democrats.
Okay.
I mean, you think about it. Wide open borders, to me, would be one of the biggest red flags. If you give a hiney,
yeah.
If you give a rat's hiney,
yes.
About national security, open borders and national security are incongruent.
That's way up on the list.
They don't fit together. You can't matrix them. You can't marry them. You can't join those. You can't dovetail those. They just don't go together.
No.
That's water and oil, okay? But Ro Khanna, actually on the air at MS Now, which, of course,
well,
I mean, you can say anything on their air. They're not going to hold you accountable. They won't do a follow-up question, of course. In fact, they even set the stage. They pretty much tell you your answer in the question.
Yes.
They go, yeah, that's right. Yep, you're right on there. And anyway, he can't defend himself. Ro Khanna said, I thought J.D. Vance and Donald Trump wanted to end these endless wars, and it saddens me. It actually saddens me that they have stumbled and bumbled into another endless war in the Middle East, and this with a ferocious adversary. A ferocious adversary?
Really? Okay.
And would that, what would that, how would you describe our adversary if they got a workable nuclear weapon that they could put on an intercontinental ballistic missile?
That.
But, yeah, if, since you used the hyperbole of ferocious to begin, where do you go from ferocious?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean that's a that's like at the top of the food chain for words to describe something very, very scary. Ferocious.
It can kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lion. It's a tiger. It's a bear. It's ferocious.
It's a nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that? Then what does that make them? So at least you admit that they're ferocious.
Mm-hmm.
They're also lunatics. You might want to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And lunatics with a nuclear weapon, again, not a good. Yeah. You don't have to know algebra to know that's not a good recipe.
Uh-uh.
So Anyway, Ro Khanna, yeah, he's out there. There was a time when he seemed like he could almost be one of those what you'd call normal Democrats. It's like, I see. He was normal, and then all of a sudden he went to Abby normal. Just like that.
Big time.
So, check, he's off the... Yeah. Another stoopy thing that a Democrat said. Then there's the cruise missile. Teddy, the cruise missile cruise.
Really?
I don't know. Don't you think that's a good moniker?
Sure. Go for it. It's very visual.
He's quietly begun asking people, hey, psst, hey. Hey, would you join a 2028 presidential campaign if I said I was in? Huh? Psst, hey. Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, nothing's a secret in politics. Eventually, that kind of thing leaks out.
And then we talk about it.
The Texas Republican has traveled to Iowa 3 times this year. And he's not just going for the popcorn. Mm. No, I mean, he's testing the waters.
Yeah.
Okay. While working the podcast circuit.
Okay.
The podcast circuit.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Promoting a new book. Okay. This is according to the Wall Street Journal. But the funny thing is, Cruz's spokeswoman declined to comment. And I get that, you know. Yeah. Oh, we're not going to tell you we're going to make a run at 28 because we have to do this elaborate announcement thing. And you know what? By then, anybody who actually cares is so way over it. Like, no, Sherlock. Mm-hmm. Really? You're running? Yeah. Gosh, that's a shocker. I didn't see that coming, said absolutely nobody. Asked on a podcast that was released Wednesday how much President Donald Trump's endorsement would matter in 2028, Cruz declined to treat it as decisive. He said it carries weight, but I think the voters are going to make their own determination. You know what that's all about.
Yes.
There's Rubio and there's Vance.
Yes.
Trump likes them both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Trump will decide which one he thinks has the best chance of winning it all.
And Rubio says he'll back Vance. If that's the case.
Just the fact that he says that almost pushes him to the top of the ticket just because he's being the...
Look how good I am. Well, I'm such a gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for the greater cause.
Absolutely.
For the greater... I'll take a back seat for a greater cause.
Sure.
The sustaining life of our republic.
It's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Independent characterized the answer as a Cruz preparing the ground for not receiving the endorsement at all. Trump is not backed a successor. He did call Cruz very talented in late August when asked about a bid, stopping short of an endorsement. Again, you just look at them, and from a substance standpoint, Cruz is a heavyweight.
Oh, absolutely. He's good.
Not a cruiserweight.
No. See what you did there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Back to the cruise missile.
So he's a heavyweight in that realm. Does he have the likability? Does he have the George W. Bush, I'd like to have a beer with that guy, likability?
Yeah. Mm, not with some people.
That's it. He is a, you really like him, or there's something that bugs you about him, and you can't always even put your finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's his thing. I think substance-wise, and as far as his conservative values and all that, I think he's golden.
But take that a step. I think a lot of people like Vance. Does Rubio come off more likable to some people? I don't know.
And again, the likable thing, like, puts you in the game. Will it put you over the top? That could be a whole nother issue.
Right.
So you get in the game, but I don't think J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio have much of a factor in terms of unlikability.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
That's a good point. Yeah.
And Vance seems to be really growing in his role, his comfort in speaking in public. Of course, Marco Rubio's come a long way from struggling for that water bottle.
Yeah.
There was only, you were only going to go up from there. But no, he is really, he commands the room so much better than he used to, and he wasn't terrible before, but so much better. He has grown in his role, and being Secretary of State is a big deal.
Yes.
Especially if you can get a real semblance of peace in the Middle East, and you run on that. I was the Secretary of State that helped to make this happen. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
But I like me some J.D. Vance, too.
Absolutely.
Real guy.
Yep.
Served his country.
Absolutely.
Came from poverty. Now he's the VP.
Yep.
Gotta love it. Our friend Kevin Mangan is coming up next, and we'll talk about public service, public safety, things like that. But, of course, we'll have fun with it and make it entertaining next on 97.3 The Sky.